Please take your Bibles and turn to the Gospel of John, chapter 3. We have enjoyed for the last couple of weeks a study on You Must Be Born Again with Nicodemus, and we're going to continue today. Gospel of John, chapter 3. And we're going to read down through the ninth verse and start with the first verse. John chapter 3, beginning to read with verse 1. John chapter 3, verse 1. There was a man of the Pharisees named Nicodemus, a ruler of the Jews. The same came to Jesus by night and said unto him, Rabbi, we know that thou art a teacher come from God. For no man can do these miracles that thou doest, except God be with him. And Jesus answered and said unto him, Verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Nicodemus said unto him, How can a man be born when he is old? Can he enter a second time into his mother's womb and be born? And Jesus answered, Verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born of water and of the Spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God. That which is born of the flesh is flesh. That which is born of the Spirit is spirit. Marvel not that I said unto thee, Ye must be born again. The wind blows where it listeth, and thou hearest the sound thereof, but cannot tell whence it comes and whither it goes. So is every one that is born of the Spirit. Nicodemus answered and said unto him, How can these things be? Father, please that you would guide and lead us today as we have enjoyed this precious reading of your word and the singing of these beautiful hymns. I just ask that you will come with your Spirit and touch every heart today as Nicodemus standing right before the Lord Jesus himself, one-on-one. And he asked the question, How can these things be? How can this be? Father, you know who is here today that would ask the same questions of themselves. How could this be? How can this be? Well, Father, please, through your Spirit, answer that question today and make it ever so clear. For those that are saved and are born again, they will rejoice and enjoy this message because knowing what has happened in our heart and in our lives. And for those that do not know you as their Savior, we pray that today be the day, because today is the day of salvation. And please, touch every heart today. No one should leave here the same as they've come. Bring us a blessing, Lord, and I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Please be seated. This man named Nicodemus is confused. He doesn't understand. And I believe that that's the reason that most churches today do not preach, You must be born again. Those words are heard very seldom, if ever. They teach instead a kind of a universal salvation, that if you live a good life and you come attend church on a regular basis, you're okay, especially if you followed in baptism and joined the church and followed the ordinances of the church, then everything will be all right. Well, it's not. Nicodemus is finding that out as he's standing before the Lord Jesus. We have looked at many verses of Scripture in leading up to this. And in the third verse here, when Jesus answers Nicodemus, he answers him, gives an answer before a question was asked. Nicodemus just says, I know that you're a man of God, a teacher of God, a master of the Word of God. I know that God has sent you. And then Jesus gives him an answer before the question. Verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Cannot see it, won't see it, will not see it, unless you're born again. unless you're born again. Now, there's two paths that people lead today. There is the path of the unbeliever, those that do not believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, have not come by faith to Him. And then the path of the believer. The path of the unbeliever, his path is heading towards, he's traveling towards hell. Just that simple. Every step that he takes, every breath that he takes, he is one step closer, one breath closer to hell. It can't be any clearer than that, than these verses of Scripture. At the same time, the person that believes in Jesus Christ and is born again is one breath closer to Jesus, one breath closer to heaven, one breath closer to a new body and no pain, no suffering. Today, the older we get, we schedule our lives around doctor's appointments. I mean, I can't do that this week because I've got a doctor's appointment. Everything is controlled around that, and the older we get, the worse that is. Be no doctors. Be no pain. Be no suffering. And to the believer, there'll be no death. I have several verses of Scripture here, and if you would like to note them, that's fine, or if you would like to get them afterwards, that's fine too. But in Acts chapter 3, verse 19, it says that we need to be converted that your sins may be blotted out. Romans 6:3 says, alive from the dead. Ephesians 2:1 says, quickened who were dead. Colossians 3, 9, and 10 tells us all about putting off the old man and putting on the new. And then in 1 Peter 2, 9, we are called out of darkness into His marvelous light. And then in 1 John chapter 3, verse 14, from death unto life. All these are saying the same thing, declaring the same truth. And so we have Acts 3:19, Romans 6:13, Ephesians 2:1, Colossians chapter 3, verse 9 and 10, 1 Peter 2:9, and 1 John 3, verse 14. Each one, we're in our sins in Acts. In Romans, we're dead. In Ephesians, we're dead. In Colossians, we're all the old man. In 1 Peter, we're in darkness. In 1 John, death. That's the unbeliever traveling to hell. Now, the believer is alive. The believer is quickened. The believer is the new man. The believer is in the marvelous light, not in the darkness. And the believer is life, possesses life, as 1 John tells us. Except a man be born again, he cannot see. As we've talked in the past, don't try to explain to someone a church doctrine about why we believe baptism does save or doesn't save. And don't argue doctrines with people, because you see, they are blind. Except a man be born again, born anew, he cannot see. We can stop right there. He cannot see. He will not see the kingdom of heaven, but he cannot see. Let's go to 2 Corinthians chapter 4. The lost person is blind, spiritually speaking. And so go now to 2 Corinthians chapter 4. 2 Corinthians chapter 4. Second Corinthians chapter 4, verses 3 and 4. 2 Corinthians chapter 3, verses 3 and 4. But if our gospel be hid, it is hid to them that are lost, to whom the God of this world hath blinded the minds of them which believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine unto them. Blinded. Cannot see. Go to 1 Corinthians with me, chapter 2, verse 14. 1 Corinthians, chapter 2, verse 14. The natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness unto him, neither can he know them because they are spiritually discerned. You must be born again. Now, I want you to carefully listen. In our natural birth, we were begotten of our earthly parents, who, by generations, have handed to us, handed down and handed to us, their own life, their own nature, their attitudes, their personalities. Now, the new birth. Think about the new birth. He who believes in the shed blood and the finished work of Christ is begotten again into a living hope. Begotten of God, who by regeneration now has given to us his life, his attitude, his personality. You see what happens when you're born anew, born again. We go from the natural man and go from something natural of flesh. And the next scripture says very clearly that which is born of flesh is flesh. That which is born of the Spirit is spirit. We need to be born again. We were born once naturally, of the flesh. We got everything from our parents that they had to give us. And many of us use the statement, you hear it often. That's the way my parents were. That's the way Dad was. That's the way Mom was. Well, if you're not born again, then that's who you are. But if you are born again, you've been given a new nature. You've been given a new attitude, a new personality. John chapter 3, verse 36. Probably just have to turn one page to get there. John chapter 3, verse 36. He that believeth on the Son hath everlasting life. He that believeth not the Son shall not see life, but the wrath of God abideth on him. Today, again, it's a universal salvation. Everyone's saved. Or it's a salvation by a given denomination or church because that's what you study and that's what you believe and so that's good enough. No, it's not good enough. The Word of God gives us the truth. And we need to see that we stand upon the truth. The kingdom of God that it speaks of here, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. This kingdom of God is a spiritual kingdom, which Jesus came into the world to give, to set up. And all the believers, anyone that believes, not baptized, not belong to a certain church, but anyone that believes in the saving power of Jesus Christ, anybody that's born again, born anew, we are the subjects of this kingdom. We are members of this kingdom. Right here and right now. We don't have to wait till we get to heaven. Because he is setting his kingdom up. It's called the church. And we're a part of that kingdom. Now, to be born again, born anew. Why isn't Nicodemus born again? He knows everything. Nicodemus is a very smart man. And yet, we have just read the answer Nicodemus had after facing Jesus face to face and twice him saying, "Verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born again." Born of water, born of the Spirit, and we'll get to that in a second. But Nicodemus' answer was, how can this be? How can this be? And maybe that's right where you're at. How can this be? Let me make it so very clear. It comes when you make a decision to call upon the Lord Jesus Christ. Do you know the day that you were saved? And I'm not saying that you can go to a certain date on the calendar because many people, we didn't We just didn't write it down. We don't know. But I know where I met Jesus. I was not near as good as Nicodemus, not near as religious as Nicodemus, and yet in my own way very religious, very faithful to the church, worked in the church. I think I have been absent from a Sunday school class probably less than 2 months over the last 36 years. And I'm not talking being in a Sunday school class. I'm talking teaching a Sunday school class. I taught a Sunday school class before I was saved. Because that's what you did. And the day that I met Jesus, halfway between the house and the Pharaoh house, and the old shed's gone, I can take you right to where it was at. It was behind the old shed right there, right next to where the utility pole's at right now. That's where I said, Jesus, come into my heart and save me. You can't just say, I believe. You have to make that choice. It's not the words, but it's a decision that you make. And you will know the day you meet Jesus. You'll know that day. You'll never forget that day. And if you don't have that day, if you don't know that day, you best look to your heart. I don't want you to miss the Lord Jesus by 18 inches from your head to your heart. I don't want you to think you're saved. I want you to know you're saved. And if you know Jesus as your Savior, you'll know it. And He keeps you eternally. Now, the second time, we have here in the fourth verse, Nicodemus said unto him, how can a man be born of old and can be entered a second time into his mother's womb? You see, he's thinking natural things, fleshly things. And Jesus said, except a man be born of water and of the Spirit. This isn't about baptism. This isn't about the natural birth. Many people place those things there. Let me give you just a little information here, that if baptism was so very important concerning salvation, then why in the book of Romans it's only mentioned 2 times, and the book of Romans is full of the plan of salvation, and yet only 2 times is it listed. In 1 Corinthians, it's listed 7 times. Once in Galatians, Ephesians, Colossians, Hebrews, 1 Peter, and the 13 other epistles lists the words baptism not once. Not once. You see, there's a problem with baptism, and that is it's no longer grace. Grace is a free gift. It's not because you come and take the Lord's Supper. It's not because you were baptized scripturally. It's not because you joined this church. It's because you believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. You have called upon Him. Don't miss that. Don't miss that. If baptism was part of salvation, or of church membership, or of taking the Lord's Supper, any of that, then it becomes works. And the Scripture is so clear, not by works of righteousness that you have done, but by His grace, you're saved. By His power, you're saved. Stop working your way to heaven, because you're not going to make it. Trust in Jesus and Him alone, please. You know, if a man of God proclaims the Word of God, and it's even better than that, because you know what? It doesn't even have to be a man of God. If anybody proclaims the Word of God, gives out the gospel, it opens the door for the Holy Spirit. And that Holy Spirit comes in to convict that heart and produces a child of God. That's how it works. If it were possible for a man to be born again by his mother, if you could be born again, as Nicodemus asked this question, Nicodemus is an educated man. This isn't a foolish answer. He wants to know the answer, and he can't figure it out. If a person could be born again by his mother, such a birth would be a miraculous birth, but it wouldn't bring salvation. it would not bring salvation. So it doesn't matter how good or how perfect it is, because it still doesn't bring salvation. It doesn't make you fit for the kingdom of God. That which is born of flesh is flesh, which the next verse tells us in verse 6. That which is born of the flesh is flesh. God gave up on the flesh in the Garden of Eden. Did you know that? In the Garden of Eden, when Adam and Eve chose to eat a forbidden fruit, God gave up on the flesh. He gave up on the flesh. Genesis chapter 3, verse 15 is the first gospel. Through the seed of the woman, he will provide redemption for us. The seed of the woman, not through the seed of man. He gave up on the flesh. Genesis 3:19 tells us where the flesh goes. We spend these mega dollars on the casket and on the vault, and you want it so the water can't run through it. You want it, boy, you just got to have it completely safe. And listen to the scripture. From dust you came, and from dust you're going to go. Doesn't matter. Put me in the pine box and put me in the ground and walk away. I don't care if there's a marker there, because the Lord Jesus, when he comes to get his church, if I have to face death, he knows where I'm at. And I'm going to come up out of that ground with my glorified body. And if I do that, and you're still here, I'm going to be ahead of you. Because that is the blessing of death, because we go first. And then you that are alive will join us in the air and forever be with the Lord. Dust. Ecclesiastes 12:7 tells that dust shall return to the earth as it was, and the spirit shall return unto God who gave it. What a wonderful opportunity for a believer to return to the presence of God, our spirit, immediately. So they that are in the flesh cannot please God. That which is born of the spirit is spirit. When an unbeliever is transformed into a child of God by the word of God, by the spirit of God, it's the inner man, it's the heart, it's the spirit, not the flesh, that's transformed. And so don't miss that. As we look at this sixth verse here, it says the flesh is flesh. We understand that. That which is born of the spirit is spirit. Now, most of your Bibles, and I hope all of them that you have, the first spirit is a big letter S, because that's the Holy Spirit. And then the second is the inner man, the spirit of man. And so you see, when he says born of the water, it is speaking of the Word, and we're going to discuss that here in a minute. So we have the Spirit, born of the Spirit. The Holy Spirit has to convict your heart for you to be saved. The offspring of the Holy Spirit is spiritual. The offspring of the flesh is carnal and fleshly. Just as we've said, we must have the new birth. Nicodemus. This man was above reproach. This man was a teacher of teachers. This man took his responsibilities at the church beyond measure. And so for him to be told by anyone that what he had wasn't enough made him marvel. Or if you would take a word that we may better understand, made him wonder. We know Nicodemus got saved. Now, are you to the place right now that you're beginning to wonder that your religion, your upbringing wasn't enough? Are you wondering? Is there a little doubt there that what I had or what I have today isn't enough? Isn't enough? I hope that the Spirit of God today has got you wondering as Nicodemus was. Nicodemus, you must be born again. That's what was said. There are many today that believe they are good and live good lives and right. You know, we look at people that are murderers and abusers, and we look at them and, oh, you know, they deserve hell and they're going to get their place in hell. You see, man doesn't go to hell because they're bad or good. Man, we go to hell because we don't believe. We don't believe. You don't believe Jesus saves. They reject Jesus. Chapter 3, verse 18. He that believeth on him is condemned. He that believeth on him is not condemned. But he that believeth not is condemned already, because he hath not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. Doesn't get any clearer than that. Doesn't get any clearer than that verse of Scripture. You believe, you're saved, not condemned. But he that believeth not is condemned already. You don't have to wait till the judgment of Christ. You're already condemned. You're condemned to hell. You're condemned to die a death, a spiritual death. Spiritual birth is something that we can't comprehend. Neither could Nicodemus. It's a miracle that anyone is saved, and it's a miracle that God gives. It's a miracle of faith. It's a miracle of the opportunity to believe. We cannot understand it. We cannot explain it. But we know that it happens by faith, and we just need to accept it. Are you willing to do that? Are you wondering today? The Scripture speaks of the wind. And the wind is a wonderful example. God uses the water up in verse 5, and it speaks clearly the washing of the Word to be regenerated. The washing of the Word. So you see, when we have the water at the first, it's not baptism, it's not the physical birth, it is the Word of God. Today you're hearing the Word of God. Then the Spirit of God comes and touches your heart. And now you've got a decision to make. Nicodemus still didn't understand. And so Jesus says the wind blows where it goes, and you hear it, you hear the sound of it. But you know, you can't tell where it comes from or where it goes to. We've had enough storms in the last few weeks to appreciate the wind. Or not. Where's it come from? Oh, the weatherman says it's going to come down from the north, the west, and it's going to, you know, it can give you the direction it's going. But it can't give you its origin. Nor when it leaves here, where's it go? We probably don't care as long as it's gone, for the way the winds have been lately. Do you believe in the wind? I mean, do you know it exists? How can you? Can't see it. You don't know where it comes from, where it goes to. That's the example God uses in His Word. You can believe something like that. So you need to believe what I'm telling you is true. That the Spirit of God will come. And touch your heart. And change your life. Everybody knows it exists. Yet no one can explain its beginning or its end. It just... you experience it. Same with the Holy Spirit. How's the Holy Spirit work? We cannot explain it. We see its effects. The Word, when it's sown, allows the Spirit to convict the heart. You see, the first thing the Spirit does is show us who we are. And we're kind of ugly. No, we're real ugly. And then it comes and convinces us not only that we're sinners, but that we have a Savior. And we can be made new through the Lord Jesus Christ. So, first the word sown, then the Spirit convicts, then the Spirit convinces, and then the Spirit draws us to God. You have a choice. The wind is used here to show the Spirit's work, and it's shown in many places. And I, due to time, I'm not going there today, but I do want you to read it. I started out in Ezekiel 37 in just the 9th and 10th verse. But I want you to go home this afternoon or sometime this week and read Ezekiel chapter 37 verses 1 through 14. And it's such a beautiful story. It's about the birth of the nation of Israel. And in the Spirit, God takes Ezekiel to this valley of bones. And they're all dried up, and there's just bones everywhere, all detached and just a pile of bones. That's where they just took people. They didn't bury them. They just took them out and threw them on the dump. And there's this big pile of bones in this valley, and he took Ezekiel down to see it. And he said, prophesy to the wind. To the wind, he says. And as the wind blew, it began to bring the bones together. As the wind blew, it began to put muscles onto the arms. And then the flesh started to come and the skin. And then all of a sudden, there was the body, the complete body. But there was no life. And God said again to Ezekiel, call on the wind. And he called on the wind, and it came a rush through the valley, and they stood up as a mighty army. And so read that, Ezekiel chapter 37, 1 through 14. Read a little further if you'd like. It's just a beautiful story. And what that is about the nation of Israel, because it gives the explanation of what's going to happen and how the nation of Israel is dead and gone, and yet it becomes in 1948 a new nation was born. Acts chapter 2 verse 2 you're a little more familiar with, where a mighty rushing wind came in at the day of Pentecost and the Holy Spirit came down upon all those that were born again. And so the beginning of the work of the Holy Spirit indwelling believers, a born again person will bear the fruit of the Spirit, which is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, and temperance. We should bear that fruit because we no longer have the attitude of our dad or our mom. We no longer have their personality. We now have the opportunity to have the personality and the attitude of our God and to have the fruit that He has given us. Love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, and temperance. A lot of people try to act that way, but they can't, because this fruit cannot be grown from the flesh. It is only grown through and by the Spirit of God. The question once again, Nicodemus, is how? How can this be? And we're going to stop right there. But I don't want you to leave. And I'm sure the Lord Jesus didn't want Nicodemus to leave without believing in Him. Nicodemus did. There's no comment made here in the Scripture that Nicodemus was saved right here. He was later. God gave him grace. He allowed to be saved later time. But none of us are promised past this hour, past this minute. We heard an ambulance, I think, went through a while ago. They were either going to or coming from someone that either is very sick. If the siren was on, there's still hope of life. We faced a time this past week where two children, little children, killed in a car wreck. If both of them was in church the week before, don't you think they thought they were going to be in church today? If they didn't know Jesus, those children are in hell. They were old enough. They were old enough. Don't wait. I hope they knew Jesus. I don't know. Are you going to leave here? I'm just shaking your head. How can this be? How can this be? We may never see you again. Because if you leave with that question and you die before I see you again, I'm not going to hell. I'm going to heaven. Because I'm born again. Let's close with prayer. Father, I just ask that you'll touch every heart and every life that's here today. Those that know you, it's just a great joy to hear the preaching of you must be born again, knowing what you have done for us. But for those that are here that do not know you as their Savior, they believe that you died on the cross, but they have never called on you for salvation. They have never said, Lord, please, I want to be born again. It's a decision. And it's a time, it's not the words, but it's the time when you do that. We are made new, and we know it. There's no question. So please, please, dear Lord, if it's just something that you've always believed, today let's make it right. And let's ask Him into our heart. Now, Father, we're going to sing this closing hymn, and this hymn of invitation, and if anyone would like to come, please, please don't let them stand there just questioning how, but come by faith and trust in Jesus and be saved today. Whatever the need is today, Father, please just speak to everyone's heart and lead them in the direction you want them to go. And I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.